Hello and welcome to the Andy Higgs Podcast, episode 11, the one with Anthony Gallagher. Hey, good afternoon, good morning, good day. Welcome wherever you're listening from, whatever time it is with you. Welcome to the Andy Higgs Podcast. I'm here today with Anthony Gallagher, head teacher of Burford St Mary's in West Berkshire. Anthony, welcome.
Good afternoon, Andy. Good to hear from you. Hope all's going well for you.
Oh, very much so. Very much so. I'm so pleased you could join us. We've got, you know, a bit of time here. We've got some questions we're going to work through. It's a tricky time. Everyone's either at home or there's just a few people in schools. And I'm sure that may crop up as we go through. But I wondered, Anthony, if you could just start us off with just give us a potted history of your story, really. Who are you? How did you wind up as head teacher of Burford St Mary's?
Potted history. Number one, I am a northerner. I am from the Federal Republic of Yorkshire. Good old Yorkshire boy. Speaks properly as well. Great for doing your words and your phonics. I moved down here long, long time ago after my A-levels to take my teaching degree at Reading University, Bournemouth College. And from there, I stayed down here. And towards the end of my degree, starting my teaching, I met this lovely young lady who is my wife 30 years on. So, and that's kept me down here. And that's where I am. I'm on my fourth school. I went from teaching, just normal class teacher, then moved up the scales, then a deputy head in Thatcham. And now I have my head job at Burfield. Been there 13 years now and really enjoying it.
13 years, goodness me. So obviously I would imagine by now you've got a sense of what you think's important, what you think's perhaps a little bit less important in schools. What would you say is as a head teacher, as a school leader, is your professional hedgehog? What's your one thing that you think is vital?
For me, my one thing is being part of a community. You have to know your community. Community that looks after each other, and especially the most vulnerable out there. That, for me, has got to be key to my role as a head teacher at Burfield.
Okay, that's interesting. And do you think, and is there something you try to do, whether it be every day or just as part of how you are a head teacher, that promotes community in particular?
I'm always out there for the parents every morning, end of school. I'm there. If they need to come and talk to me, I'm always available for them. I think that's it, being available for them. It might be for the smallest thing, not necessarily to put a complaint out there, but just to come and chat to you, see how you're doing, see how they're doing, and kind of reaching out to them. And also things happening, events happening, activities happening in our local community is making myself available and known to all various groups. And letting them be part of our school community as well. Well, bringing them in to be part of our school community.
Super stuff. Thank you. Okay. So you just described at the start there a quite a long teaching career in the career in education. What's the one thing you wish you'd known before you began your career in schools?
That's an easy one. I've got four children in their teens and one into the 20s now. When I first started, I would have loved to have known what it's like to be a parent. As a teacher, we give all this work out. We ask parents to do so much, but not knowing what the pressures that parents face are. I think if I'd have known that when I first started, it would have just helped me making some of the decisions I did when I first started teaching.
Okay, thank you. I think it's one of those things I would say many of us, it helps you build community and connections with people when you've got a sense of the situation they find themselves in. That's absolutely true.
You can definitely empathise with the parents as well when they're talking about their children, and you've been there yourself. You're a parent. You've done all of those things. You've had those difficulties as parents as well, and I think that's important to know.
Yeah, I think you're right. As you say, finding again that common ground and that shared that just makes such a big difference. Now, you, I'm sure, through that quite long career now, have had a few moments where things haven't quite gone as you would have liked. What would you say was your biggest, well, failure is perhaps too strong a word, but biggest failure, biggest cock up? What's one thing you dwell on and share with us that you had to deal with, and what did you learn from it?
Perhaps not failure, more regret than anything else. Obviously, I've been down here now in Reading since 1985. Long time. Long, long time. And my life has built up down in Reading, and I kind of let my career and the family down south in Reading kind of take over my life. And probably my biggest regret was not going to see my parents enough. Kind of staying down south and not taking the opportunities to see the family, the extended family. And that's kind of driven me to understand the importance of family and how that is key in all of our lives, which I think everybody's getting to understand right now within the present circumstances.
Okay, indeed, absolutely. The, you know, where we find ourselves now, staying at home together, I think I, for one, have been on video calls with my parents more often in the last week or two than I've been in the previous 6 months.
Absolutely. And it's very, very easy just to forget and ignore our brothers, sisters, families, parents, and just get on with our lives, kind of focusing in just what we need to do at that particular time. And sometimes you got to look at what really is important within your lives.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So, here you are in a position of relative experience. What advice would you give someone wanting to pursue a career in education?
Number one, absolutely go for it. You'll have the best time of your life. I've not really regretted any part of my teaching career. I've really, really enjoyed it. There are good times, there are bad times, like there isn't any job, and it is a job, and really throw yourself into it and enjoy it. I would say, don't feel you just have to concentrate on the curriculum subjects, particularly maths and English. There is a lot more to teaching, just knowing your maths and English. There's a huge skill sets out there. Probably the one thing I'm pleased I took a lot of interest in while trained to be a teacher was child psychology. And for me, this is probably the most important part, the most important thing that I learned and took an interest in at college. And that really has helped me to understand children and how they learn and how they think, perhaps particularly when you don't have children of your own as well.
Okay. So putting those two things together has been really, as you've developed your career, has been really helpful.
Absolutely, yes.
Okay. Okay. Obviously, using these experiences as you've described and using some of the things that you've learned early on in your career and in your training, as you've gone along, what would you say were the best resources that have helped you on your journey?
Now, it's probably the internet. Sadly, when I first started, the internet was probably not as well available as now, so that's great. I started off with the PE. PE was my major at university. That's one thing I had a huge interest in. And doing PE lessons, there is probably one book that I've still got now, and I still use, and I still pass out to my staff, even to my wife as well, which really, really helps with the teaching of PE. It's a book called Mini Sports by a guy called Mike Sleep. I think it's probably out of print now. You can probably get it on Amazon or eBay. But for me, that's kind of been my one to go to book that I've had for the past, nearly 30 years now. And I still go to it now as well.
Brilliant. Super stuff. We'll put a note of that in the show notes. Thank you very much. That's a really good insight. Those things with PE, I think we all got colleagues who feel it comes quite naturally to them. And then there are others, a bit like with me with music, where it doesn't come naturally at all. And a really good resource is just so helpful to our effectiveness.
Absolutely, totally agree.
Okay, so of course we're in a sphere of work which is full of people, and I wonder who would be the three people that have been most influential to you over your career in schools?
I think I'll go right back to when I was at school, not having a career in school, right back to my times at grammar school back in the early 80s, late 70s. There was a biology teacher, a guy called Mr. Locke, who was not necessarily biology was a thing, but he was into running particularly, and he got me into running. I did lots and lots of running for the school, for the county, and got real enthusiasm for it, and then pushed me on to doing sports leadership at one of the local colleges about 9 miles away. And from doing that sports leadership, that catapulted me into teaching. I could see that, yeah, I wanted to be in teaching. I enjoyed working with children and teaching them and developing their sports skills. And hence from there, I went into teaching as a result of his pushing and his enthusiasm towards me for running. Second one.
Oh, brilliant.
Second one, my first head teacher in my first school, Embrook Junior School over in Wokingham, back in the 1990, there's a head teacher there, Stella Beardmore. I think she lives over Sonning at the moment now. She was my first head teacher and kind of showed me the importance of letting teachers pursue their own interest in school, using the skills they have to enthuse the children and get the children involved in the activities that they want to be involved in. And she let me do that with sports. And I had such a great 4 or 5 years at Embrook, really doing all the things that teachers have to do, but pushing the sport and taking the children to national levels at sports at Embrook. So that was really good.
Okay, great stuff.
I probably follow Stella's guidance now. All the stuff that she said was important. That's probably what I put into my role as a head teacher as well. So it still sticks with me now. The final one, somebody who's been influential, it's got to be my wife.
Oh, good one. Well done. You get brownie points for that one, Anthony.
No. Probably 31 years on. I get in trouble for losing count, won't I? Still probably one of the most influential people in my life as we've moved through our lives from our 20s, teenager for my wife, up through now into our 50s. So, yeah, that has made a massive influence in what I've done, what I've pursued, and my role as a dad and a teacher.
I think the importance of a partner or a close person to you in if you are in a career in education and schools is vital, because there are stresses and strains, and I think having the chance to talk about the things linked to your career, but also have somebody who you can escape with is perhaps a bit unfair, but can be there with you and for you is crucial, I think.
Yeah, understand what you're going through as well. And it does help that obviously my wife's a teacher as well. So we're able to then just discuss our lives, our work. Sometimes you just got to know when to stop there as well.
That's true. Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. Great stuff. Now, next up, I wonder if there was one common myth about education that you wanted to debunk, what would it be?
One thing I hear from friends, even my brothers and sisters as well, is that teachers work from 9 till 3:15 and then we go home with the children. I would love to think that I start work at 9 o'clock and I finish at 3:15 and that's my working day. Unfortunately, our jobs are like everybody else's. We're starting at 8, we're finishing at 5, 6 o'clock in the evening, just like everybody else does. 13 weeks holiday. We get holiday from the children, I'd say. Holiday from working with the children. But of that 13 weeks, yeah, we'll probably get 8 weeks. I'd probably say holiday, which we could say is our holiday. 5, 6 weeks, which that holiday is part of our work. We're still getting work done, but not in school with the children. And I think that learning doesn't just happen when the children are in the class. For me, learning is continuous. It's not just the time that children are in class. They have to learn throughout their lives, making their mistakes and learning from those mistakes.
Brilliant stuff. Thank you very much indeed. And of course, as we sit here right now, there's many, many parents throughout the country and throughout the world beginning to have more of an appreciation of what it means to be responsible for children's learning on any given day, and the trickiness of it all, that's for sure.
I and understanding their children as well. It's not just here's a bit of work, get on with it. You have to understand the moods of your children, the likes of your children, the interests of your children, and also support and guide them, and not just it's right and wrong. It's kind of there's little grey areas of how the work's going to go, which I think parents are starting to look at their children perhaps in different light now.
Interesting stuff. Okay, so I've asked you quite a few questions. I've been some fascinating answers. So grateful. Thank you very much. if you were to step into my shoes and you were interviewing me, what might I have asked you that I didn't?
Well, who's important in your life, which you talked about already, but also the thing of don't rush into things and look to get results and conclusions with them. Look for guidance and support, and people will follow. Was it the film Field of Dreams? You build it and they will follow. That's what I need to do. You have to build this. It's not a case, I've created it, they're going to come. You've got to slowly build up and develop, not just looking for immediate results and getting that conclusion. If you do that, we're not working with data here, we're working with children, and you've got to develop and slowly improve them. Probably my biggest frustration with getting to politics here is the government, wanting results and data. Children are not results. The living beings who just need to be developed at different paces.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely crucial.
Probably went off.
I'd say there was a question in there somewhere about the purpose of schools and what we're there for, and maybe that's thank you for that. Absolutely wonderful, Anthony. Thank you so much. Before I get to my final question, how can listeners check out Anthony Gallagher, Burford St Mary's? Where would you signpost people?
We've got our school Facebook. Just type in home learning, the rainbows they're sending in. So every day our work's been posted up and our families enjoying books. Teacher at Burfield, the rest is on the school website. Get on there. There's loads of things being posted on our school website as well. Got a great team behind me who's making all that happen. And obviously the Twitter as well. Not so much as used as Facebook and emails, but we have a developing Twitter account as well.
Okay, great stuff. Super stuff. Thank you. Okay, so we'll finish, if I may, with my final question, which I hope to use with all our guests, and that is, what's your secret sauce, Anthony? What do you do every day, every week, every term? What's your secret sauce?
Every day, I go around the school every day, morning and afternoon. I go into classes, I see the children, I show interest in the children's work, I show interest in them, I get to see them, I get to chat them every single day. So I don't become a head teacher stuck in an office and you just come and see Mr. Gallagher when you're in trouble or when you show. I'm out there with them and showing an interest in my teachers as well, of what they're doing, and rewarding the children as go around.
Brilliant.
Every week, give time to my own children and their interests. I don't lose sight of, I am a dad, I've got children on my own. I look after my own children. I'll take them to training, take them to do activities. So to make sure I am there for my own children and my wife as well.
Every okay, term, brilliant.
Stop. Look at what's happened. Learn from it and then start again. Rather than just following the continuum. Take time to reflect on what's happened and where you're going to move on from this.
Love it. Great stuff. Oh, so thank you so,
good
so much.
Good to speak to you, Andy.
For your insights. Hope to catch up soon. I'm sure that there'll be some more opportunities from her teachers. But as to somebody who's so grateful that you're brave enough to go first, What a great start. What a great start.
Good to hear from you, and good luck with the podcast.
Thanks, buddy. See you soon. Cheers. Bye.